Our universe is incredible, surrounded by mystery and beauty, and many of us have questions about our past, present, and future. October Hallam is an intuitive medium with over 20 years of experience. She has assisted people with discovering their path by understanding their past and connected the living to their loved ones who have made the transition. She is currently offering readings through Skype, Zoom, FaceTime, phone, and in person. You can reach her at theancientgift222@gmail.com. Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Today, my guest is Dan Shukas. Before I bring him on, a couple of announcements. Coming March 11th, 12th, and 13th, we got Forbidden Knowledge News Con. We're going to have 8 presenters. It's going to be online with a Rockfin Premium membership, and that means you get the entire conference for only $10. All you got to do is sign up through that link in the description. You get not only the conference, but all our premium content. You get all the content from every creator on Rockfin, and you get the previous conferences we've had. New episodes are always available free on Odyssey, all podcast platforms, Rockfin, and our website, ForbiddenKnowledge.news, which is also the home of the Forbidden Knowledge Network. This is where we feature podcasts from other members of our wonderful community. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. All those links are in the description. And unfortunately, there are still some of us out there that have to deal with mask mandates at work, for work, on an airplane. Guys, check out Fake Mask. Fake Mask has the most breathable and authentic-looking masks on the market. They're sure to get you into stores, on airplanes, and into work. Click the link in the description, and you get 10% off your order. Today, I want to welcome Dan Shukas. He is host of the Cosmic Keys podcast, which is a weekly esoteric show that includes a week-ahead astrology forecast in every intro, followed by in-depth interviews with today's top spiritual thinkers. It provides spirit-based conversations in an era of censorship, materialism, and superficiality. Dan, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Chris. Thanks for having me. This is going to be great.
Yeah, it is. And I had a great time when you were awesome enough to come out to our little hangout whenever I lived in Denver. And like I was telling you before, we're hoping to do it again at my new house sometime soon. So be looking for that invite. And looking forward to today, man. Your show is great. It focuses a lot on the connections between astrology and basically everything. And I believed in the powers of astrology and predictions that can be made, introspection, and how the sky clock is probably the greatest tool that's really not being used by the majority of humanity. So it's going to be great conversation. This is what we should get into first, is possibly how it works, why it's such a powerful tool, and maybe some possible examples of how astrology connects to our reality and you know, the current insanity that we're seeing. But this is your first time on the show. Let's hear first, how did you get started with astrology and getting into these kind of fringe topics and ultimately starting your show?
Yeah, so it's kind of a long story, but I would definitely... So when I was younger, first of all, I was raised Catholic. I went to Catholic school. And I never had a problem with the Catholic thing. I liked going to church. I was an altar boy. Like, I liked the magical side of Catholicism. And I always just, had kind of a natural connection to God. In high school, though, I graduated high school in 2006. So in high school, I was way more into like psychedelics. Like, I was like a big jam band fan. So I would go to like these shows where you could buy like a mushroom chocolate in the parking lot and then like go inside and have this like contained like 2 to 3 hour trip. Take the train home and go back at it, and it's basically over. So I was all about that in high school, and then went to college in Boulder, Colorado, kind of like a hippie, very spiritual town. There, it's arguable that the kind of woke thing has taken over Boulder and a lot of those like old school hippie places. Mm-hmm. But when I was there, I was all about like Eastern philosophy, and I was just on that kind of like archaic internet on message boards and learning about conspiracy, learning about kind of new agey spiritual stuff. So I was always into that from a very young age. But I'd say the turning point for me was when I was a sophomore in college in Boulder, I had a really severe snowboarding accident where I broke 3 vertebrae in my neck. And that was kind of like not an actual near-death experience. I didn't like go towards the light and get a life review. But it was like really profound to go through that. And I had very like mystical kind of like God experiences during that. And the big thing after that was kind of like life is precious and you have to savor every moment and, do what you're meant to do here. So that was amazing, but also very heavy. There was just a lot of like PTSD after that happened. Like, I had to go home. I was in a neck brace for like 4 months. And then I kind of returned to college and was just like, all right, I'm back. Let's party, like in a neck brace. And then it was like, why am I crying at the end of the night? Like, why am I crying before bed? Like, what's going on? What happened? So I went through a lot of like PTSD and depression.
You said this is about a decade ago?
It happened in 2008. Yeah. 2008, so, okay. So I was it was like my junior and senior year of college. It was great. It was fun. There was like the surface level. Like, I'm happy. I'm blessed. I have friends. I'm having a great time. I'm partying. But then I had these like very severe existential problems and depression and stuff like that. And it was basically building up to my final semester. Was in the fall of 2010. I basically had like a full-blown kind of spiritual awakening because I read Tony Robbins's book. It was called Awaken the Giant Within. And that's kind of like NLP. It's like you create your own reality. Your neurolinguistics determine your limiting beliefs. And that's very occult and esoteric at the end of the day. So that was my first introduction to that. Then I went to college and there was like a free week of yoga thing, and I was like, oh, yoga's for girls. But when I was in the hospital, the nurse said, hey, just to let you know, this is going to be really hard. You're going to have a lot of pain, a lot of chronic pain. I had something similar, and the only thing that worked for me was yoga. So I took that to heart, went to yoga, and then just had like a full-blown like I don't know if Kundalini is the right word, but it was just like boom, like it was a physical healing and a spiritual trauma healing all at once, because I was living with chronic pain. I was depressed. I was like taking Adderall to study and like smoking cigarettes and like pulling all nighters, like hunched over, and my whole body was really fucked. I mean, I was young, so it was kind of basically doing yoga was step one in healing myself and learning kind of the mind body connection and learning like all of these esoteric things, like even just the basic Tony Robbins stuff, like you create your own reality. Your thoughts have a strong effect on your physical body. The placebo effect is real. So basically, to get back to it, I had this crazy awakening, and then it was my like final semester in college, and I had this experience where I was just like blissed out, and I knew I was in a really good place, and then I was like falling asleep, and I had this idea like go to the occult bookstore in Boulder or go to the New Age bookstore in Boulder, and I was like, yeah, I got to do that, yeah, and then. When I ended up doing it, I just marched in there, went straight to the back, went straight to this book, and it was The Secret Teaching of All Ages by Manly P. Hall.
Right on.
Had no idea who Manly P. This was like 2010. So like,
yeah,
there weren't the like vast amounts of YouTube recording. I had no idea who this guy was, but it was like a colorful book with really cool alchemical artwork. And when I opened that book, it activated me. Like I burned through that book, and it's a thick, difficult book to read. And I've even tried to return to it, and I'm not on that high level like I was where I could just burn through it, but it was definitely an experience of like, it felt like remembering stuff that I already knew. And a lot of the esoteric symbolism I was familiar with from like Alex Jones type stuff. Like yeah. I was familiar with the idea of the Illuminati and the occult through my exposure to conspiracies. But when I was reading Manly P. Hall, I was kind of like, okay, the Illuminati use this same philosophy or symbols or methods, but it's not, there's like a white lodge or like a good side. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to be on the good team. I'm going to be about like one way or the other, this stuff resonates with me more than any type of religion stuff did or Christianity did. Like I felt God learning about the esoteric more than I did, let's say, by the Bible or something. Like the Bible didn't activate me and make me just be like, feel so alive. So that's kind of like my long-winded story of how I got into the esoteric in general. And then, you know, that was the end of college in 2010. So between 2010 and 2019, I was mostly living in Chicago and trying to like function in the normie world with all of this kind of understanding. And I still argue that period between like 2012 and 2019 was kind of like the alternative media renaissance or like the esoteric podcast renaissance. So there were so many resources and Reddit groups and books on Amazon. I was reading a ton and just living in Chicago and living in a city, having normie friends and trying to integrate all of this stuff. And so basically, I started my show when I'm with a former co-host, and her name is Scarlett Ravenswood, and she was kind of like a YouTube witch. So she was like paganism and witchcraft and stuff like that. So in the beginning of the show, I would do astrology and she would do tarot, and that was kind of our stick. But I always wanted to just podcast about the general conspiracy truth or esoteric world. I just wanted to like cling on to that. So like astrology is a big important part of my life. I had my first readings in 2013 and it really changed my perspective and kind of made a lot of sense to me. But again, I don't know if it's past lives related, but all of this stuff just like works with my brain. Astrology is geometric. It's like graphs and numbers and data, but it's also symbolic and poetic. So I think the weird way I perceive things worked for me, and I was kind of a natural. So I was like, okay, I'll be the astrologer on the show. But I really like my passion for podcasting isn't strictly astrology. It's kind of like conspiracy, esoteric, and all of that. So right. I took the show over in 2020 as the sole host of it. And that's when I really connected with more people in the alternative community. And so now that we've been around here and enough of us have stated our position on the pandemic and the loss of freedoms and the tyranny and the New World Order and the Great Reset, we're all on the record from the beginnings saying like, hey, this is bullshit. We're against this. And so now I'm like, what gets me up in the morning to podcast is to talk out loud about that stuff. Yeah. And astrology and the esoteric is just kind of like the spin I put on everything, because that's me. So right on. Kind of a long-winded answer, but yeah.
No, that's great. And I want to explore a lot of things that you said, but really what you said, you know, your kind of major awakening started around the era of 2008 and on. And I hear this so often from many people who have this awakening around the same time period I did. Mine was around 2012, 2011, 2013. You know, those 3 years were very pivotal. Mm-hmm. And you're right about that Renaissance period, you know, between 2009 and 2019. That was great. You know, that was great having access to all that shit. I was like going nuts with all that stuff. But yeah, I think a lot of people had this same experience. And I'm wondering, you know, is it something cosmic that happened? Is it something that was meant to happen? Or is it just that YouTube was, you know, starting to bang and they had a lot of these videos coming out on YouTube and on the internet during this period? I don't know. What do you think?
So the 2012, I knew, like, I was obsessed with before astrology, before anything of like being more exact. I just knew the Mayans said the world was going to end in 2012. I knew that when I was like a sophomore in high school.
Yeah.
And so I was really building up 2012. And it's funny, you're from Louisiana. I was living in New Orleans during 2011
into
2012. And my experience in New Orleans, I had paranormal magic, voodoo, like lifting of the veil, like experiences where, you know, it's, you could talk about the spiritual world hypothetically, but when you have a lifting of the veil experience, it's almost traumatic. It almost shatters your reality. So that was going on for me in those years. But I think there's the Mayan thing with 2012. Pluto, which we're literally days away from the final exact US Pluto return date. And Pluto entered Capricorn in 2008 and will be there until 2023. So 2008 was a big shift. That was kind of the beginning of the Pluto return. And then it just builds and builds and builds, and it's peaking this week, basically. So that was kind of a kickoff. There was also in 2012, Neptune entered Pisces. Neptune is a very spiritual, otherworldly, far out kind of astral, psychedelic outer planet. And Pisces is that dreamy, same thing. So I think the esoteric renaissance, like the, even like just the occult revival, the witches of TikTok, like the tarot, the astrology, I think that blew up because of that period of Neptune being in Pisces. And Neptune will leave Pisces, I think, in 2025. So there are some big shifts, but I also think, like what you said, like from a non-cyclical point of view, that just when YouTube was around, you know, like in 2007, 2008, but it was pretty archaic. It was like cat videos.
Yeah.
But even just like, just the internet totally like just freed up all of this information. Like early on, Reddit, I was a source of a lot of stuff for me. And, but now, you know, I feel like for that 10-year period, everything kind of came to the surface, but now they're clamping down on everything, and the censorship is a real problem. So that, yeah. And I've also just heard a lot of people like, yeah, my awakening in 2010, my awakening in 2012. I feel like 2010, 2011, 2012 had a lot of awakenings for some reason. And now I think 2020, 2021, and 2022, yeah. It's like a second wave. And it's funny, when it was not easy to have an awakening in those years and then live a normie life. Like, it was isolating, it was hard, but, you know, out of the desire to connect with other people who are on board with this stuff led me to start the podcast and led me to like be talking to you now. So it was a long road from like 2010 to 2019 of like finding the others. But now I think we're here and we're all connected through the internet and we're all speaking out against this stuff. And it's good to know that others are kind of holding the line, but yeah, the awakenings definitely happen in waves, and it's interesting to hear that other people kind of line up with the same timeline, you know?
Yeah, that is super interesting. And I want to touch on something else you said about occult practices and magic and astrology and all these things that are, you know, considered evil by certain religious groups. I totally agree with you. It's a tool. It's how you use these things. It's your intention behind what you're doing with this stuff is going to determine really whether it's good or bad, in my view. And if you have, I believe, pure or good intentions using any of these things, magical practices, ritual magic, occult, astrology, all this stuff that, you know, is considered major woo-woo or, you know, evil by some classes, it's just a tool. And it's a very powerful tool that should have been taken advantage of for a long time, but it's been just kind of shoved under. And do you think it's been hidden and occulted for so long, especially this astrological aspects, because of its profound powers of predicting energies and events and everything, really?
Yeah, the history of like censoring the occult or occulting the occult, you know, like occult just means hidden. And, you know, it's a really fascinating thing to study historically, because even in ancient Rome, like I think doing magic was a punishable crime, you know? So like the Romans even hated magicians and stuff. Obviously everybody, there were temples and there was pagans and there was priests, but magic is kind of like a rogue, decentralized form of spirituality. And it like the powers that be have always been afraid of it. And, you know, even when you think of like the burning of the Library of Alexandria, I think the elites, whether it be the Vatican or other people or other groups, have been hoarding this information to, you know, keep their cult going. Catholicism is a cult. It's the first, I mean, it's other than like Orthodoxy, you know, they wanted to market their cult and convert people and have devotees and stuff. But even, you know, like casting charts has always been something that the elites do. Like most, there was like court astrologers. There was the astrologers that the powers that be employed. And then there was the other astrologers or other normal people who just knew astrology who were punished for it and whatever. And, as far as like it being evil and dangerous and demonic, I think it's definitely dangerous. Those of us that are brought towards it, I feel like we don't have a choice in the matter. Like, I feel like it really is fate that makes you want to do these kind of these healing arts or these esoteric arts or these occulted arts. Because trust me, like it would be easier to just be a normie than to have to live in this world with the understanding of these truths. So yeah, and it's really interesting too, because astrology and witchcraft and the occult and the esoteric, like we said, really blew up between 2010 and 2019 and was super acceptable. It was seen as progressive. Most of the people who are into like Wicca or astrology are left-leaning people, social justice-y people. They were using this stuff practicing this stuff with a social justice-y lens. So there was like hex the patriarchy or hex Trump or curse Trump or whatever. So that was like the norm. And, and when I started the show, it was pre-COVID, and I was cool with those people. I didn't give a shit if you were a liberal or like a social justice warrior. Right. Like I, it, yeah. In those years, it didn't really matter. I was like, hey, live and let live. But when COVID rolled around, those people proved themselves. They proved themselves to be bootlickers. Let's just say that they have ACAB in their bio. All cops are bastards, and yet they're policing people about misinformation and vaccines. And so the woke witches, the woke astrologers, with anybody, I try to have compassion and understanding and forgiveness. But with that being said, I separated myself from all of that, from all of them. And now there was a video that was out yesterday where basically it was this TikTok video. I think she was an astrologer. She basically was saying that on March 17th, tarot and astrology are going to be taken off the algorithm for your likes in Facebook. So you can say, what's your interest? What can we provide you content with? You have the option of saying like astrology and tarot.
Yeah.
But starting on March 17th, they're taking that off. A lot of the payment providers don't let you do astrology or tarot readings online anymore. My Stripe account, this is unrelated, or I guess my Stripe account is frozen at the moment. And I thought it was because of my associations with astrology, but it turns out they thought I was using Stripe to sell NFTs because I have NFTs made, but that's a whole nother story. But what I was getting at is, you know, March 17th, they're making that change. And me and a few other astrologers have been like, there is no way that this censorship is not going to hit us. And there's no way that the woke thing is going to let astrology and tarot and divination and spirituality exist, because this shit is communist in nature. Woke is cultural Marxism. So all these people who are social justice witches and astrologers or whatever, they don't know that everything coming out of their mouth is rooted in atheism and materialism, because that's what socialism and Marxism relies on. So these people who are going to be writing essays in their academia about like gender and the elements and like gender and race and all this stuff applied to like astrology, tarot, witchcraft, whatever, like that, there's no way that they're not going to hit a dead end and be forced to stop doing it. And
well, I've seen it. I've seen this exact thing that you're saying. I've seen people hit that dead end and then they're like, what the fuck do I do now? And they turn back around. They're like, I'm going to come back to this team and maybe shift my view on what's happening in with our society right now, you know?
Yeah. And it's been like a uphill battle for all of us, you know, like whether it's in my personal life or whether it's like with these podcast connections I've made with people. Like everybody's going to wake up to this at their own rate. And I never try to force people awake to this stuff, but woke and cultural Marxism and all of this stuff, censorship, like being politically correct. It's a guaranteed self-destruction path. Like these things infiltrate institutions or subcultures. Like it could be video games, comic books, anything. And astrology and witchcraft and tarot are subcultures. When the woke comes in, it starts eating it alive from the inside, turning people against each other. And it's a self-destructive mind virus. But ultimately, cultural Marxism was created to create chaos, to create destruction and a void. And in that void, they're going to push in totalitarianism, communism, technocracy. So it's day by day. Like I've been embracing, when people ask me about my podcast, I'm like, yeah, I'm basically a domestic terrorist, because that's how we're being painted. But more and more and more, the stakes are being raised, I feel like. So these days, you know, I am focusing a lot on like, you know, how do I keep doing this in a continuously like rogue way, where it's more underground, or it's only on Rockfin, or it's only on these like safe platforms? And how do we do, like you're saying, in-person meetups, so that we don't have to rely on like the technocracy to do what we're doing? And I feel like those, I really think we're at war right now. And I do, this is a war where it's a meme war. It's a culture war. It's a spiritual war. And I approach it that way and I'm pissed off. And I am fighting because I'm pissed off and I have rage against this fucking machine, you know? And so that, yeah, I don't even know where we started with that, but it's all
no, right whole, on. That was
the whole woke new age thing. Like it, literally 3-4 years ago, I was like, whatever, you're a lefty. I have tons of lefty friends. Like, do your thing, you do you. But now those people really want to rape me with a fucking needle. They want to, that's where they're at, you know? And it's the same thing with Nazism and communism and all this stuff. Like it's when the herd mentality fully takes over. And then these people are not thinking irrationally. It's that mass formation psychosis. But you know, the real witches and wizards or whatever, should have the discernment to know better. And those of us that do are at one level, and those that fell for it are actively destroying themselves. So all these astrologers, I even saw it today. They're like, listen, it's not a ban. They just took it off. It's for all the scam accounts, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're digging your own grave. There is no space for anything spiritual in a totalitarian communist technocracy, because guess what? They don't let that fly. TikTok will erase all of this. It's like witches of TikTok, astrologers of TikTok. Give it 3 years, that'll be all gone, you know? So the state won't allow this stuff. And like I said, from that period of 2010 to 2019, it's this free open renaissance of like occulted information being de-occulted. And now 2020 and forward, it's all being censored, and literally the witch hunt and the witch burnings are back. So these so-called woke witches or woke astrologers are digging their own grave. They're fucked. So. Yeah.
And it's so hard to tell, you know, the, I guess you could say the percentage of people that are basically free thinkers that are going against the narrative, versus what they're showing us in the mainstream. We're never going to get that true number. So it's kind of frustrating when we try to gauge who is on our side and, you know, if we're the majority, if we have a chance in any of this stuff. And I think that a lot of people in this community, that's the big concern for them is, you know, are we the majority? Do we have a chance if we all stand up? Where is this going? You know, where is our future leading? And, you know, is this going to, are we going to have a chance to kind of take anything back? And that's what I want to kind of get into based on the astrological outlook that you've been looking at, is where do you see us going? But first, kind of just if you could give maybe the most basic overview of how these planets, how the stars connect and are able to dictate these energies and events and everything that we're looking at.
Yeah, so astrology is a really complex system, but it's basically a way to map the whole sky that's visible from Earth. The whole sky above and the whole sky that you can't see that's below the horizon. Like if it was daytime in the US, it would be nighttime in China. It's still a 360 degree wheel. So what astrology does is it divides the wheel into 360 degrees. And then each section of the wheel is there's 12 sections. So it's literally the same thing as a clock on the wall. There's 12 numbers on the clock on the wall. And there's 12 sections of the zodiac. So the zodiac is a map. And you track the movement of the planets on the map. And since ancient times, the ancient astrologers were able to determine the speeds of the planets so that we know. If you have that data in front of you, you know exactly, you know, where each of the planets will be on any given day, because that works like clockwork. So it's very easy to use astrology in a way that is disconnected from looking at the night sky, because you can just pull an app up on your phone that will have the wheel and all the glyphs and everything in it. And it's like data. So we're really studying data, and it's just the movement of the planets in a predictable way. So each planet kind of represents a certain energy or archetype. And the 12 signs, which are the 12 divisions of the 360 degree wheel, are based on the four elements. And each sign of the zodiac is ruled by one of the seven traditional planets too. So, okay, you know, like there's the zodiac, which is the wheel. It's very mathematical and it has angles within it. So you can plot the movement of these points, which are the planets, through their movement of the wheel. And when they align at certain angles, they activate each other. And then you draw a conclusion about that. And just a general thing. The chart is always changing. So like right now there's a chart for this moment where I'm at, and there's a chart for this moment where you're at. So when you cast a chart, you're free. You're taking a snapshot of the wheel where every planet is and where it is on the horizon. So like a day chart will be different than a night chart. And your birth chart is when you take that snapshot, and then it is frozen. And it's kind of like when the moment you take your first breath, that chart describes your personality, and it's kind of your roadmap. And there's a million different ways to apply astrology to kind of interpret your personality, interpret your karma, interpret your strengths and weaknesses. So does that make sense, just for like a general overview of
astrology?
Yeah, it does.
That was actually perfect. Now, when we look at all the shit show that's going on now and leading up to it, What did you see, maybe even looking back at some of these charts, that could indicate that we're entering some pretty fucky times here?
Yeah. So in astrology, there's the planets that are closer to the Earth, like the Moon, Mercury, Venus. Those move quickly. It takes the Moon 1 month to do a whole lap around that wheel. So it takes 1 month for the Moon to do that. It takes the Sun 1 year to do that. So it takes the Sun 1 month to move through one sign. And then the further out you go, these planets take a very long time to move. Saturn takes 2.5 years to move through one sign, and like 27 years to do one lap. So compare that to the Moon, which takes 1 month to do one lap. And then the further out planets beyond Saturn, which are the modern planets, those are part of modern astrology. Those move so slow that it's like mini eras of time when those planets are in certain signs. So to answer your question about the times we're in, so I made the decision to move to Colorado because of a lot of stuff happening in the year 2020. 2020 was on my radar for a few years beforehand. So kind of like 2012, I was building it up in my head. What's going to happen? What's going to go down? And what the alignment that happened, to kind of give to give context for where we are. So Saturn is the planet of restriction, responsibility. It's like old father time. We think of the black cube. We think of the elites worshiping this evil Saturn. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I just see that as reality. That Saturn is like the matrix we're in. If we didn't have, physical stuff and time, Saturn is time also, we couldn't get this human experience, this 3D experience. So that's what Saturn represents. And Pluto is way far out. It's like a dwarf planet. And Pluto represents kind of death and rebirth and destruction and hidden power and evolution. So Pluto is a really gnarly planet, and Saturn's a really kind of difficult, restricting planet. And in January of 2020, Saturn and Pluto came together at the same point in the sky. That only happens every 40 years. And the time before that happened was the early 1980s. So there was Saturn Pluto in January of 2020. That kicked off, that kind of kicked off COVID, really, because we would say COVID really started in March of 2020. But if you recall, January of 2020 was like when Kobe Bryant died, when everybody was talking about World War III. So that was like the one of those times where I made a life decision based on astrology. I mean, it wasn't 100% astrology, but it was informed by astrology. Like, I don't want to live in the city anymore. I'm going back to Colorado. Whatever happens, if World War III starts in 2020, at least I'll be in the mountains. And it didn't end up being World War III. It was this plandemic. But basically that happened at the beginning of the year, kicked off COVID. But the main thing was at the end of the year in 2020, we have, I don't know if you remember the Star of Bethlehem chit chat, but that was on the winter solstice of 2020, Saturn and Jupiter came together at 0 degrees Aquarius. So Saturn and Jupiter come together every 20 years. And those are like little eras of time. You know, the Saturn represents constriction and Jupiter is different. It represents expansion. So when those two come together, it's kind of this yin and yang thing where it's like contained expansion. And it's like, so that happens every 20 years. People were calling that the Star of Bethlehem because it happened on the winter solstice. The exact moment was the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. And the thing about Saturn and Jupiter is that they come together every 20 years in the zodiac, but for like 150 to 200 years, they always come together in the same element on the zodiac. So basically in 2020, the Jupiter-Saturn conjunctions went from the earth element to the air element. So for the next 150 years, every 20 years, Saturn and Jupiter will be coming together in the air element. So that's a big deal to astrologers because the era before us was considered earth. You know, it was, it started close to the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. It was that period of factories and railroads and colonization and the British Empire. All that whole period from the 1800s to now was kind of this huge earth-based physical empire thing going on. Now we're entering the air element. So air is decentralized. Air is up in the clouds. It sweeps, it moves, it's mental. Like earth is physical. It's like your body. Air is mental. It's your intellect and your thoughts, and it's rational. So like when I decided to move, when I made that decision to move, it was basically Saturn, Pluto came together in January, and then there would be this crazy year. And then the end of the year would be the beginning of this whole new age, this 150-year air age. And straight up, my Chicago astrologer told me like years before, he's like, December 20th, 2020 is the beginning of the age of Aquarius because it's kicking off the air era and it's happening at 0 degrees Aquarius. And the age of Aquarius is a much bigger cycle. And we're coming out of the age of Pisces, as we know, like the age of Pisces was characterized by Christianity, the two fishes. Pisces is ruled by Jupiter. It's spiritual in nature. And the age of Aquarius is air-based, and Aquarius is kind of more techno-focused. It's more scientific. It's more the collective. It's hard to say when the age of Aquarius officially begins. It's like a slow drip. And we've definitely been in the in-between of Pisces and Aquarius through the whole 20th century. But now that we're in this air period, it is way more safe to say that we're in these Aquarian times. And so when we're saying, yeah, the world is fucked, this is like a transitioning period. And I think the elites just know that this old earth-based system, which they had full control over, they had, you know, land and estates and factories. Yeah. Now wealth is going to be different. It's more crypto decentralized, and even it's the internet is this like grand Aquarian thing. And whatever the metaverse turns into, I'm skeptical of that, but just the internet in general, what we're doing right now is Aquarian, you know, the community that we're kind of a part of is Aquarian. We met through sharing of ideas on the internet, and it's a thriving thing. We're making a living this way. So when we're thinking about these times, I think, yes, they're bad. Yes, there is like Nazi era level of propaganda and brainwashing and groupthink and all of that. But I think looking forward is going to be really important, and holding the line is going to be really important, and understanding the potential for real decentralized currency or information or blockchain data and stuff like that. That's all kind of where we're heading. And like anything, there's a shadow side, which is like Klaus Schwab is the technocratic lord tyrant of the metaverse, which could happen, if it could happen. Or it's like this like digital utopia situation where information and ideas and communication is just hyper fast, decentralized, so you can connect with people across the globe. And opportunity and advancement and focusing on humans, because Aquarius is a man. You know, the zodiac has like animals and beasts and a few humans, but Aquarius is a man. So it's humanity focused, it's community focused, and it's Aquarius is a really like quirky sign and contradictive sign. The constellation Aquarius shows Ganymede from Greek mythology, and it's kind of a weird story, but I bring it up because everybody talks about Aquarius, but they don't really know the story. It was like Zeus saw Ganymede and thought he was so beautiful, so he like turned into an eagle and like abducted him and made him his cupbearer. And it's kind of like his gender role is kind of reversed, because the cupbearer is a woman's job. So even with like these different ways of seeing like gender and social norms, they're a little bit flipped around now, and we're navigating that now. I think open-mindedness and acceptance of this stuff is good, but I also think, again, there's the shadow side. There's the libs of TikTok people who are batshit crazy. But Aquarius is going to be kind of weird, kind of future focused. And I think to get to the real is like, to get to the age of Aquarius that we want in these years, maybe throughout our whole lifetime, like we're going to be fighting these culture wars, these information wars, these meme wars. And I personally just want to fight for a good version of this like techno future. Like, and at this point it's getting to the point where we're becoming more like cyberpunk to kind of make it happen. And I have a lot of hope with a lot of with like NFTs and crypto and the blockchain and stuff like that. And I think a lot of the old ways are crumbling. Like a lot of these things are just signs that the elites are very fucked and they know it. Like they're desperate. If they're freezing people's bank accounts in Canada right now, they're desperate. And what if that leads to a bank run and their dollar just turns into a shit coin? Like just by the fact that like there's new stuff on the horizon, and later in the decade, like after 2025, three of the outer planets will be in new signs too. So that'll really be like a new era and like a new vibe. But definitely we're in the rocky period now where this crazy stuff is happening. I think we'll get some relief in 2023. But the U.S. Pluto return is happening right now, and it's been building up for since 2008. And that's a big thing for us as Americans and just for the world at large, with the United States being the petrodollar and having, you know, being the superpower of the world. I mean, that's another thing with the COVID thing, like just like the woke virus or the woke thing destroying communities from within, they're destroying countries from within too. So like, woke is in our kindergarten classrooms. That's going to fuck these kids up. Right. Masks are in the kindergarten classrooms. That's going to fuck. It's fucking us all up. So this whole COVID thing is maybe related to that Pluto return. You know, the Pluto return peaks on February 20th. So that's in 5 days. But it's been building up since 2008. And, it seems natural to me that the United States is, it's like the United States and the whole world is going through this mass formation psychosis. And when the house of cards falls, that it has, I'm of the belief that the house of cards is about to fall, you know, sure. sometime in the next year or two, I would say. So,
well, I've been talking about this with quite a few people. I mean, it has to. The system is crumbling before our eyes. It has nowhere else to go but down. It's built upon the shittiest foundation, and it's been needing to fall for a long time. The question is, what will come out of it? Will we have something better, or will we be assimilated to the Borg and, you know, have our Chinese social credit system ready? I don't know. You know, like, I'm hoping that what you're seeing in these astrological outlooks is accurate, and that we're, you know, we are headed to a better age. But, you know, I think it could go either. I think it's up to us, really, to see which way it's going to push. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally think it's up to us. And I totally think the spirit world or the higher realms, which we are all connected to at all times, it's going to be like the best case scenario is like the great awakening, you know, like the, like a spiritual awakening where the average person has a true spiritual awakening. And then this wave sweeps over. And I think that happens at the higher realms, but I think worst case scenario would be, yeah, we fail to do that. And then the lower demonic energy takes over, and, you know, you see demonic energy in everyday people with three masks on who are in the grocery store sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you see that. So these are like immaterial forces that are battling right now. And I think for me myself, like, I don't know, I was always pretty chill, like laid back, you know, whatever. But now I'm like a raging psycho to go against this in any way possible. Like, I get riled up, I get angry, and I have a spitfire way of talking about it. But I think the inner, like the Aquarian themes will stay no matter what. So will it be a technocratic dystopia where we are the Borg, we are transhuman, or will it be this like new agey age of Aquarius, like spiritual way of connecting all humanity consensually, and having us kind of evolve spiritually, not evolve into transhumans by putting shit in our body, yeah, but to really raise the vibration and use this technology that's already like ready to roll, you know, like the internet is everywhere. And it's such a revolutionary thing for the internet to, like, in our lifetime, we saw it from the beginning, from the introduction to now, the technology and stuff, that Aquarian theme is here to stay, but the spiritual battle at the higher realms, will determine whether it's a dystopia or a utopia. And I have a feeling we'll fall somewhere in between, because I don't really think it's going to be perfect. But it's just when you're doing astrology, you're kind of just like, you know, when you've crossed the threshold, you know, when there's kind of, you're in a new era, you're in this new time. So I try to be forward thinking and come up with ideas and embrace the online friends and the digital communities and the crypto and all of that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, obviously there's the dark side too, with like Klaus Schwab's and digital IDs and the Internet of Things, like you're yeah. with everything in your home monitoring you. We don't have to consent to that. We can still fight for privacy and fight for freedom. But the technology is here, I think, based on like these bigger cycles.
Yes, for sure. And there's a couple of things I want to touch on to close out on today, and that is crypto and NFTs. Now, crypto, I've dealt a little bit with, of course, you know, with Rockfin, you have to deal with crypto, and I've invested in Bitcoin, and I still don't completely understand what's going on with blockchain and all that stuff. And now we have NFTs, and man, I feel like an old man with some of this stuff, because I'm like, NFTs, what? I don't know what this is. Yeah. But if you could explain a little bit about what NFTs are and how you're using them. And you said that you could offer people to create an astrology wall calendar with NFTs. Tell us all about this.
Yeah, so basically, I just finished this project that was a few years in the... I came up with the idea a few years ago. Basically, it's a wall calendar where every day of the year, or like every square in the wall calendar, will have the astrological data for the day. So it'll tell you what sign the moon is in, and any of the aspects between the planets. So you can look at the calendar and just know, you know, where we are in the moon cycle, what sign the moon is in, when does a planet go retrograde? When does a planet go direct? When do these other planets align? So this was kind of copied off of Llewellyn is this book publisher that publishes like all the Wicca books. And I used their astrology calendar for years, or that's what I was using on my podcast. So I thought it was like a really helpful thing to have a wall calendar that you could flip through, look at any date and just see what the astrology is. So starting last November, I made my own. I basically entered all the data in, designed it. And then to get to the NFTs, my thing was I wanted to make artwork for the calendar that I liked, because the Llewellyn calendar was kind of like cheesy Wicca, like fantasy art.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like vaporwave, like psychedelic, like collage stuff. So I made these 12 images that are going to be, you know, like on a wall calendar. The art is in the upper half and then the calendar is below. And basically I just minted those all as NFTs just to try it out, just to get my feet wet. So the calendar is available to buy on my website. And if you wanted to collect the NFT or own the NFT, those are available on my OpenSea website. And OpenSea is one of the NFT marketplaces. So to answer your question, what is an NFT?
It's, yes, please.
NFT. Yeah. NFT stands for non-fungible token. So basically, you as the creator of any type of digital art can mint that art into the blockchain, and it's based on Ethereum. So you mint it into the Ethereum blockchain. And then in my case, it creates a smart contract so that me as the creator, say I sell you an NFT for 0.05 Ethereum. That's what I'm selling these for. So that's like $125. If you buy that, you now exclusively own this thing that is like hardwired into the blockchain. So I've always been an artist and I'm interested in NFTs just as a new way to like share the digital art and to make money off of the art basically. And then with the NFT, say you bought my NFT for 0.05 ETH and then you put it out and sell it for one ETH and you make a profit. I, as the creator, get a 10% commission of that digitally. So it just instantly goes to me. So I got interested in it just because like, it's a way for artists to actually, you know, make money off their work more so, but the NFT marketplace is brand new and there's some crazy shit out. Like there's NFTs worth millions of dollars and it's basically just a digital asset, just like a crypto coin. And when the person mints them, that's being put into the blockchain. And then it's all through the smart contract will always feed back to the original creator so that they can get a commission anytime it's bought or sold. And so it's, in a way, it's kind of like a collectible thing. But an NFT can be anything. So right now, I mean, the stuff is expensive. Some of them are ridiculous. Like the Bored Apes are worth like millions of dollars just because they were like one of the original ones. So it's like if it was minted in 2020 or 2019 or whenever the earliest mints happened, that's kind of like the value. So it's kind of like Pogs or baseball cards or Beanie Babies in a way, which I agree. It's like you're putting all your hope into this shit, but it's more so... I mean, it's just like any digital asset. Like the value is kind of determined by the marketplace, and it's a decentralized way of so like and right now it's like the Wild West. So like people are buying like random JPEGs, and some of them are not that cool. Like there's a lot of them. I'm just like, what makes this so valuable? But it's a very volatile, like early adopter thing right now, and I don't have a lot of opinions about it. I just was like, well, first of all, I'm making this artwork mainly exclusively for the calendar. I didn't make it just for the NFT, but I was like, if I have these 12 digital images, I would like to just mint them. So I minted them on OpenSea and they're for sale on there. So does that kind of answer the question?
It does. And I understand a lot more than I did before. So thank you.
Like some people are like, oh, like I'm going to like build my career on making NFT. Cause like a lot of them are just like junk kind of like a lot of them will have like an animal face with like a top hat. And then a different one will be like a baseball hat. And the other one is like a sunglasses, but it's the same face. I can't really speak much on that. But I was just like, okay, I just made 12 digital works of art and I just want to mint them and just put them out there to get my feet wet. I haven't even sold any of them yet. So it's more like an experiment and they are out there, but it's yet again, just like this new decentralized technology and they're out there on the Ethereum blockchain now. So We'll see how it goes. I just kind of wanted to try it out.
Yeah, man, that's super interesting.
Another side note about NFTs, which is a critique of them, is it can be like a way of just like washing money. So you could like, I hear of people like kind of say buying a really expensive NFT and then selling it for really cheap and being like, I just encountered a loss, but they like sold it to themselves. So it's almost, and it's like in the same way that the art market is kind of like phony or whatever. Like you could like be like, hey, I'm selling this piece, this painting for like $4 million to like a drug lord. And then it's like, you're good. Cause you're not selling drugs. You're selling this work of art. So it has that like black market potential. But the reason I bring that up is because I don't know, like we've been watching the news and like they're freezing accounts in Canada. And there is the risk of like your bank being like, hey, we're taking your money because because of your political beliefs. So if we get to that point, NFTs are a digital asset that you can exchange as works of art that have value. So if you minted like Forbidden Knowledge News NFTs, your fans could be like, hey, I want to support Chris and own a piece of his work. But it could even be like, hey, we can't do digital currency exchanges because we're blacklisted. Here, buy my NFT to support me. So it's like, it's kind of a,
right on.
Again, it's very decentralized. I think criminals are kind of using it, but I am embracing just like the decentralized black market. If it gets to that point, I'm not saying we should do wrong or illegal things, but if we're
just another tool, man, like we were talking about earlier,
if we're cut off from our banks, which is reality, it just happened yesterday in fucking Canada, NFTs might be a way to dodge the technocrats. So who knows? I'm just kind of thinking out loud about that, though.
No, yeah. I mean, that's great to know. It's great information to have to be armed about this stuff, especially in these crazy times we're headed. We don't know what the fuck is going on. But it's definitely fascinating times. It's interesting times. It's scary at times. But it's, man, I wouldn't want to be alive at any other time. So, Dan, thank you so much for coming on. This was fantastic. For people that want to find out more about you, get your artwork, podcast, all that good stuff, what's the best way that they can do so?
Yeah, all that is on my website, cosmickeyspodcast.com. There's links to the NFTs and the wall calendar. I'd love to send you a calendar, Chris.
Sweet. Hell yeah.
I sent them, and it's crazy too, because like I said, my Stripe was just turned off. And I was like, they turned me off because of my like posts or whatever. Like I really had that fear, and I was blowing them up on Stripe, like, hey, I can't sell my shit on my website. What's going on? And it took like 5 days, but they were like, they accused me of selling NFTs through Stripe. But I was like, no. My website has a link to OpenSea.io, which is a different site where you can buy my NFTs. This is a physical print wall calendar. So I've really got my mind on like the banning of people and like the cutting them off from doing digital transactions. So long story short, hopefully my Stripe will be good and anyone can order the physical wall calendar. And then my podcast is on Rockfin and all the platforms. I've been on a little break, but as of today, I'm like relaunching it and thinking of different ways, given the censorship, because my Instagram is totally shadow banned. Like, I was just on Tinfoil Hat, and like there was like a huge influx of people, but it's like they're like, I can't open your page. It tells me, do you want to open him, or are you sure you want to follow him? And so it's a long, you know, I'm thinking of different ways other than social media mainly, because I think social media is dead. Like they are going for people like us, there's really, we're not going to last, and just let it die anyways. So long story short, I've been working on the calendar and not recording as much, but I'm, now that it's done, now that the proof has been submitted, I'm about to get back into the podcasting game. So thanks a lot for awesome, having me, though, Chris. We hung out in person at your party, and I totally listen to your show all the time. So,
oh, well, thank you so much, man. Thanks for coming out. Like I said, we're definitely going to do it again, hopefully in April. Definitely love you to come out. And this was great, man. There's so much more we could talk about and touch on. We could do this for hours, so we'll definitely have to have you back on sometime soon in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me.
Rock on, man. And until next time, everyone, have an excellent evening, and we'll be talking again maybe later tonight. We'll see. But definitely tomorrow. See you then.